The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling Art with Chris Things.
Do the hammer lock.
Welcome back to another episode of Wrestling Art with Chris Things. I am Chris Things Brian, your host this week and every week. I'm generally the art dude here, but this week we have another very special edition of the show, the Wrestling Art Curator Edition, where instead of just art dude, I play the role of curator of other rad art dudes, I guess, and dudettes. So I am stoked as this week to be talking to a gentleman known to some of you as Lil Petey Puro, known to others as the sick Instagram handle Gotch Style Bong Rips. So good. very stoked to talk to this dude about his art. That'll be coming up in just a little bit, but a very, very fun little old chat. But yeah, in the meantime, my little what's been going on in the world of Chris Things intro monologue. Well, so last week I had my the wrestling art show at Netherworld that took place. Wonderful group show. I spoke a little bit last time about preparing the artworks and everything for it, but I realized I didn't really tell you much about the night. So we had both the opening night, and then on the Sunday they actually had a whole themed wrestling evening at the bar, complete with the trivia. And then a bunch of people making their own entrances and cutting promos and stuff, all trying to win the best one of the evening. And man, it was honestly so much fun. So it was super cool to see her in a couple of ways, right? So both for me, just sort of seeing a collection of different people doing wrestling arts, you know, in like this. I mean, Netherworld, in describing it for you, it's a I guess an eclectic kind of bar that's obviously centered towards a bit of the nerddom things of, like, you know, video games, and they have different I think Dungeons and Dragons nights and pinball stuff and different movie nights and things like that. So an eclectic kind of spot, and they also always have really cool art shows on, you know. So this being sort of more on the wrestling focus side of it, it was just so cool to me to see that I don't know, that wrestling art in the air, if you know what I mean. It's kind of like a celebration of this wrestling art community that, you know, I'm all about, obviously. I mean, this wrestling podcast, wrestling art podcast, is kind of all about that too, and wanting to, you know, talk to other creatives, talk to different wrestling artists. So it was super cool to see. I got to have some wonderful chats as well through the couple days there, both, you know, to some familiar faces, also meeting completely new cool as folks who I'd never even known before, and then just having like a like a 45-minute chat about the ins and outs of wrestling art and just wrestling in general. It was super fun. I was pretty stoked with my three little old paintings that I have up on the wall there. So if you're in the Brisbane area, please get on down to Netherworld, where they'll be up on those walls for the next few weeks or so. I think all in all, really cool time, and that wall of eclectic wrestling art was super cool to see. Ranging from classic kind of stuff with like Undertaker and some people's amazing like ECW nostalgia kind of stuff, and it was a trip for me as well seeing one of the pieces had like Shawn Michaels and Kurt Angle, and I was like, how is that retro wrestling? That's like current, isn't it? And then I realized, hey Chris, this match from like 2003 occurred 20 years ago. You're just old. So yeah, that was a little confronting, but no, fun as time. Other than that, I've had some more commission stuff I've been working on for my much loved commission clients. So I've got some really fun stuff lined up there that I can't wait to be able to share with you. And I've also, you might have seen, but I'm participating in my first ever artist market this weekend. So again, for those of you all in the Brisbane area, it's Fallon's Barrel Hall this weekend on Saturday. I'm going to be taking part in this great artist market, I think it's called, something like that, where there'll be over 50 other artists. But this is kind of like a progression on from the Oddities and Curiosities Expo that I did last year. That was just such a fantastic experience. I'm wanting to do more in-person kind of events where I get to see people and meet people and talk to people, peddle my wares in person. So I'm looking forward to that one. I'm intrigued because, the last time with the Oddities and Curiosities Expo, obviously that's a bit of a niche kind of audience, which I think was probably pretty good for my kind of clientele of wonderful weirdos. So this one being more a general kind of like artist market, I don't know. I wonder how that'll go. I wonder if is that going to be more... people kind of looking up my stuff and just giving me some real odd stares. I don't know. I'll let you know. I'll get back to you. We'll see how we go with this one. But no, I'm still looking forward to it. I think we've got some exciting stuff on the horizon here. I'm still working my way up to try to work out, all right, exactly how best can I get my brand out there, I guess. Fuck, I hate saying that. That sounds so shit. You know what I mean. Get more of the Chris things out there. Sell more of the things. Do more commission things. That's the goal. We're still in the building stages, but I appreciate every one of y'all out there because you're here in these stages with me. We're in this together, guys. But I think that's a pretty good little amount for the intro monologue. So let's throw over to our latest edition of the Wrestling Art Curator series of this little old podcast. Alright, ladies and gentlemen, I am super stoked for the latest edition of our Wrestling Art Curator episode of the podcast. I have another way talented wrestling artist here to talk to, a dude who does some way cool, rad, unique style illustrations that I really dig, like delightful, minimalistic kind of retro illustrations that really remind me of like a weird, fucked up, lowbrow Tugboat Mickey kind of vibe, just in all the right ways. Welcome to the show, Lil Petey Puro.
Hello, man. That was quite the introduction. I'm blushing over here, man. Thank you so much for having me.
No, thanks, dude. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. I'm like I was telling you when we got on the call, I'm a huge fan of your work. And I was just over the moon when you asked me to, to have this chat, and I'm stoked. Uh-huh. It seems like we have a lot in common, like you said when you reached out. Like, you know, I think pro wrestling has that attraction. It can just get people from everywhere, you know.
Oh, dude, for sure. Like the nerddom element of it, and when you get to just like vibe with someone over like, especially like the more semi-obscure kind of stuff, I just pop for it so much, hey.
Oh, same. And it's, you know, it's one of those things. It's the one, I don't even want to call it a hobby, because it's more of like, I'm a mark, you know, it's a lifestyle. So like any other thing or hobby that I've had, the community and just people wise, like, it's nothing like pro wrestling. Like you said, the nerddom, like, we're all nerds, you know, like, there's no cool guy atmosphere in pro wrestling.
I mean, yeah, it's like, you just have to, like, you know, we're geeking out here. But yeah, like, I had, wrestling art show thing the other week, and it was kind of cool. We had like a wrestling themed day of festivities at this bar, local bar in Brisbane called Netherworld, and the coolest thing was just having like complete, you know, random people that you know have never met before, but you can just have like a 45 minute chat with, because it's like such a niche thing, I guess.
Totally, yeah. I had a similar experience. I sold some wrestling merch at a local wrestling show like 10 minutes from my house 2 weeks ago. And yeah, same deal. I've never met any of these people before in my life. And yeah, I'm sitting there having these long conversations, and, you know, it's great. You get to interact with people on that plane, and, you know, you find out a little bit about them when they tell you who their favorite wrestlers are. It's like, you can kind of tell a little bit about something when they tell you who their top five favorite wrestlers are. You're like, oh, heck yeah, I see you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's what I'm talking about when I was like, I see your stuff, and like the references come through, and I'm like, oh man, this is kind of very similar to my fandom here myself. I mean, before I get too much further, I want to direct everyone over to you having one of the coolest Instagram handles that I've come across. my girlfriend asked me who I was gonna be chatting with today, and I'm like, oh, I'll be interviewing Gotch Style Bong Rips this morning.
Oh man, that I don't, you know, it just kind of came to me. I've always had like a thing for, like, I don't know, I like funny handles, you know, in this internet age. Like, I don't want to just call myself my name, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, the government's already got that, so like, let me create, you know, who's my, like, we're wrestling fans, right? So who's my persona? And yeah, it just kind of came to me one night, just Gotch Style Bong Rips. Like, I don't do the pile driver like Suzuki, because Minoru Suzuki's my favorite wrestler. I was like, you know, I don't do the pile driver like him, but yeah, you know, I can relate it to a couple things, like the bong or something. And yeah, a lot of people have messaged me and just like, what a great handle. And it brings such a smile to my face, because, like, you know, I love to make, you know, if I can make someone happy or make someone laugh with just like something that makes me laugh, like, that's awesome. Like, hypes me up every time someone says that.
Oh, for sure. And then like all of the kind of like punny references and that kind of stuff, it's just an extension of it. Hey.
Oh, totally. Everything's a joke to me. Like, I try to make everything into funny. I'm a glass half full kind of guy. So I just, you know, keep things light, try to laugh as much as I can.
I like that. I think that's how to be. That's generally how I try to approach life. I generally go like a 50-50 between being like a really like everything sucks, to just be like, you know what? I'm going to choose to ignore all the things that suck and just focus on the good, you know?
Sometimes you have to, man, just to keep the positive going, you know, keep the vibes high. Because, you know, there's so much negativity in the world. I'd rather not focus that energy, like the energy I have for the day. I'd rather be stoked on something, and, you know, and life's gonna be life, and the machine will keep going.
Yeah, for sure. And like, what better can we have for escapism than wrestling, right?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I feel, it's funny, like, here in Michigan, you know, football is huge. Like, they love the NFL, and I got nothing for it. You know, I'm a pro wrestling fan. Like, that's all I watch. Like, if I got free time, I got old Nitros on, I got old 90s, whatever on. Like, I just watch wrestling, you know, and I tell people, I'm like, I feel like you're less crazy if you like pro wrestling instead of like professional sports, because at least we know, like, we all know what's going on. It's theater, you know. I'm like, people freak out over these sports teams, and it's like, man, just watch wrestling, you'll be cool, just have a good time.
Yeah, exactly. I a similar here in Australia, with, I don't know if you know much about like Australian rules football. It's kind of this crazy version of football where they play on like a round oval, and it's just all over the place. Like, I guess with American football, it's a lot of specific direction, whereas this is just, it's kind of madness. It's kind of cool. I grew up on it being like pretty big, but like you're saying, there's people that take it so darn seriously. You know, I went to a game with my cousin, because he's super into it, and you have people, like, their life's like just like screaming violently at ref calls and stuff like that. I mean, I don't know, it's weird, because like, from wrestling perspective, I dig that, getting to like scream like at a, you know, bad ref call, but it's like, we're doing it with a bit of tongue in cheek, you know.
Totally, yeah, like, we're part of the show too, you know, like. And not to say that, like, any fan watching anything that they're a fan of, like, you're a part of it, like, regardless, from, you know, sports to theater to, you know, chess, even, like, the crowd's part of it, you know. And, but yeah, some people who go a little too crazy start getting aggressive, fighting. The violence over a game is insane to me.
Yeah, I do not understand it, but man, on to like this weirdly specific similarities that we're talking about. I bloody loved that Fujiwara Cat Club piece that you put together. I'm such a Fujiwara mark, dude. Like, and when I saw that, you just like captured, and I've been following him, you know, as well. So I see all of his cat stuff.
I love it, man. He is a national treasure that I think just needs to be protected at all costs. Like, you know, you wake up in the morning, you get to see Fujiwara and his cat, you're just like, wow, that's what I strive to be. Like, my cat's passed out on my legs right now as we speak. So, like, I identify. I'm a part of the cat club, you know? And it's funny, there's that original drawing. It's like a Takata graphic.
Mm-hmm.
That I saw on the Tuticon website, and I was like, wow, that's sick. Like, I love to recreate these old graphics, like the old All Japan graphics. Like, you'll see these crazy, the towels and stuff on eBay, and like, you know, you can't get a clear view. Like, there's not a clear image of them online. Like, you gotta search the internet. I'm sure they're there, but, you know, I'm like, I can kind of recreate that. You know, I can make that a little clear and give my own style to it, and that's kind of it's the wishing well I keep going back to, I feel like.
Dude, I think that's so cool. Like, that was one thing that I was wanting to talk to you about in terms of like references, inspirations, that kind of deal. You know, I see you shouting out a lot of this old, like, old Japan merch, you know, stuff from Gong Magazine. You know, I just think it's so cool, sort of taking something, repurposing it a little bit. But I mean, tell me more about your inspirations, I guess.
it's funny, like, so I started doing art, like, I wouldn't say, like, making it a full passion, you know? It probably started about 10 years ago. I was actually working for a skate shop in, I was living in Connecticut. It's over on the East Coast, like, 2 hours from New York City. And I worked at a skateboard shop over there. And at the time, I, like, really wanted to be a, I wanted to be in, like, the skateboard industry. You know, that was my goal at the time.
It's funny you say that, because I definitely see a bit of a skate art aesthetic in your stuff.
Oh, totally. Like, it's, I don't think it'll ever go away.
Yeah.
Like, I realized, like, I was working at a skate shop. I was skating all the time. I was also popping my shoulders out all the time. So, like, kind of coming to the terms, like, I wasn't that good at skateboarding. You know, like, I could do a few tricks, but, like, in the grand scheme of things, money was not going to be made with me on a skateboard. So I kind of started doing art like that way. I was like, well, what else could I do to be a part of the madness? That's always kind of like been my philosophy in life, is what can I do to be a part of something? Like, if I'm not a good enough skateboarder, if like I'm not a big enough, if I'm not strong enough to be a wrestler, like how can I contribute, right? It's like my kind of my mind frame for everything. And I started doing art at the skate shop. I was really big into, do you know Hunter S. Thompson?
Yes, love Hunter S. Thompson, dude.
So I went through quite a gonzo phase. I was like 20, from 21 to like 25. I'm 30 now. And I just like really wanted to be Hunter S. Thompson, I think. And I found Ralph Steadman.
Oh, man.
The guy who used to illustrate for Hunter S. Thompson, and his art, like, I was trying to think of today, like, who my biggest art inspirations are. And I think it really comes down to, like, Ralph Steadman set the fire off pretty huge for me.
Oh, yeah.
Just that gonzo style, and just, there was nothing perfect, because, like, I can't do perfect. Like, I try.
I am the same, dude. And I think from a very early age, Ralph Steadman was a big inspiration for me, too, in, like, making you be like, you know what? It's okay to be a bit rough around the edges, you know, a bit loose and, like, have a bit of personality in there.
Totally. And I saw it. That's what gravitated me to your work as well. I saw the Steadman influence right away in your stuff. It reminded me of the he goes to like the horse race or something in like 80s or 70s, and they write a book about it, or it was in Rolling Stone, a lot of those early comics and articles that Steadman and Hunter S. Thompson put together. Your drawings give me like brings me there, gets me so hyped, because like that's what got me into art, is that style. And just like the meltingness, the reality of life, almost. Like, I know that's how they would like explain it in gonzo. Like, not everything can be pretty, you know? Yeah. Some things are rough, some things are real.
Exactly. And like getting to bring an illustration to like some nuts acid trip, like fumes inhaling, like kind of deal. Oh. Like, it's amazing stuff.
It's so good. Yeah. I had, in those early days of like doing, so like when I first started seriously doing art, the skate shop, like my first year of like, I'd say seriously making art, it's funny to say, but like I had a purpose, you know, like I really wanted to put pen to paper, paint to canvas, like anything. I was like ripping out pages of Catcher in the Rye and like painting on that and stuff, and just trying to be as edgy as possible. And the Hive Skate Shop is where I worked. The owner, Charlie, shout out Charlie King. He early on, he's like, you want an art show? He's like, he was doing art shows around the time I had started working for him. And I got to work a lot of those art shows with a lot of Connecticut artists.
Awesome.
A lot of the local guys. Jamie Pearson was one, this dude Rob Von Guess, like they were just local guys in the area who had been doing art for a while, who were skate dudes. And Chad Consillo is another one of them. I can't forget Chad. But I really like gravitated towards them, and I wanted to you know, be the art skater guy. And I did that for a few years. And, you know, I feel like with skateboarding, you find your way into vandalism almost. And I got into graffiti for a while. And I kind of, unfortunately, like, I feel like that took over almost. And I stopped doing, like, regular art. Now, I don't even like saying, it sounds funny to say, too, but, like, the faces and the Gonzo style, the stuff that got me into creating in the first place, like, I kind of was just, like, super passionate on letters.
Right.
And, yeah, it kind of took me away for a while. Almost, like, 6 years, almost.
Wow.
I wasn't doing anything. It wasn't until actually recently I started drawing again, wrestling. You know, it pulled me back in. And it was like it's kind of the sidetrack off that. Like, I quit drinking this 3 years in July. This July will be 3 years.
Congratulations, man.
Thanks, man. I think that in doing that kind of helped me get back to like art. Like, I've also been with, like, I kind of fell back into wrestling like 5 years ago, I'd say. And, you know, then I got sober and then I was like, huh, you know, you clear your mind and you're like, huh, I used to do art. You know, I would see things, like, I'd see all, there's so many Instagrams like yourself, and K-Bop is another one. They make such great work.
Nice.
You guys inspired me. And I remember seeing Mid-Card Merch put out an Eddie Kingston shirt. I'm sorry if I'm kind of rambling here.
No, please. This is how I talk, dude. So this is part and parcel.
Perfect. But Mid-Card Merch put out this Eddie Kingston t-shirt that had it looked kind of like the old All Japan keychains that came out in the 90s. You know, he's got the that little sweat mark on his forehead. He's all stanced up. And they made an Eddie Kingston version. Eddie Kingston being one of my favorite wrestlers of all time.
Yeah. Same.
You know, I looked at that image, I was like, I think I can do something like that. And from then I just kind of got back into drawing my faces. Cause that's all I did when I got into art, you know, like doing skateboard style art. Like, I always wanted faces on a skate, like my specific style of faces, like on a skateboard or whatever. Like, that was always the dream.
Yeah. Nice.
And then, like, once I started, I was like, I want to draw wrestlers. Like, I was like, I want to have my own Suzuki drawing that I can bust out whenever, or like my own Terry Funk. And, like, you know, inspired by the internet and just inspired by wrestling got me back to where I am. And I'm so grateful. Like, it's funny, you clear your head a little bit. Yeah, you stop doing something silly that maybe you shouldn't be doing. And, you know, you see the world a little clearer.
Yeah.
That's how it's kind of felt the past few years, you know, and then getting back into art has just been a whirlwind. I didn't know if I'd ever like be passionate about it again. I was kind of bummed me out that I stopped doing it in the first place.
It's so funny how that can just happen, dude. Like, I was a art kid, you know. It was probably the one thing in high school that really like gave me something to focus on and like put my passions into, kind of deal. And then there was a while when you know, when I was, you know, trying to be a worker back here in Australia, when I just stopped making art because, you know, I guess you only have so much time in the day or whatever, or you make whatever excuse it is to you, get distracted away from it. And then, yeah, coming back to it. And I find this with a lot of people, you know, that I talk to that I've had on the show. It's often a time when people kind of like get away from it, but then they like fall back in love with it. And I think that's really cool.
Oh, totally. And I think it goes to like that corny cliche of like distance makes the heart grow fonder type deal. It is true though. Like, you leave something and you come back with a fresh set of eyes, almost a fresh perspective on like, Because you don't lose those tools. It's like riding a bike almost. Mm. Like, you may have, like, you may have your wobbles and almost fall over a few times, but after a few reps and a few laps around the block, you're like, oh, I remember how to ride the bike. And, like, kind of how it feels with, like, getting back into art. You're like, oh, yeah. Like, you know, the start firing on all cylinders. You're just hyped again. And it's, I'm able to do more now, I think, than I could when I had, like, a closed mind just wanting to do skateboard stuff.
Hmm.
Feel the skills of doing other stuff, too. I worked construction and stuff as well. So, like, the little monotonous of that, I feel like, helped in art as well. It's like, I may not have been drawing or anything, but I was doing other things that kind of helped.
Yeah, and it's like you're saying, I think there's something to be said about when you're away from it, when you come back to it, it's almost like you can see things in a little bit more of a refined, you know, like clear eyes, I guess. So it sort of can make you have a bit, I don't know, things can get a bit muddied along the way, you know what I mean? Like, where you're just a little bit kind of like, I don't even know, I do a bit of this, a bit of that. But I guess when you have a bit of a break and then you come back to it, you're like, no, this specifically is what I want to do, you know?
Yeah, the power of hindsight is like, it, you're able to look at a different angle, you know? I feel like when you're in the moment trying to do things, it's easy to, you know, it's easy to start being like, oh, man, you know, type deal and overthink things. And
mm-hmm.
sometimes it's, I've found, I think with, you know, putting the pen down in a way, you know, and stepping away from creating for such a long time, something I realize now, it's like, it's okay to not do something for a few days and to not burn yourself out, like, and just do what feels right. Like, be, it's okay to, you know, have a passion that you can't fulfill almost every day, you know? Like, cause I'd love to bust out a drawing every single day, you know? And, like, sometimes my mind's just not there. Like, things don't work out. Like, I'll have an idea to draw someone a certain way. I'm like, ah, it's just not working today. And I just got to come back the next day and have the have an idea of Fujiwara and the cat. And you're like, oh, this works. What the heck?
Yeah. I mean, it's like you can, yeah, you put too much pressure on yourself to do something, and there's nothing that's going to, like, stifle creativity more than, like, being like, oh, I need to do this, and it just isn't working kind of thing. So it's good to be able to, yeah, just put that pen down for a bit and come back to it when you're feeling it, you know?
Oh, totally. I had to look this quote up. Like, I really like Stoic philosophy. It's something that kind of, like, it gets you away from, like, you know, only focus on things that you can control type mm-hmm. deal. And that's kind of like, I live that way. Then my disclaimer on Stoicism, like, you take the good parts of it, like anything, some things are kind of depressing, but, like, I like to just take the good from things. And my favorite Stoic quote is, we suffer more in imagination than we do in reality. So, like, we can beat ourselves up and be our own worst enemy sometimes, you know? And, like, the reality of the situation isn't that bad.
Oh, for sure. I think I take a lot of that bit, not quite the same thing, but I've always taken a lot of life's inspiration from the dude in The Big Lebowski.
Oh.
And his general ethos about life of, you know, like, fuck it, let's go bowling.
For real. Like, honestly, fuck it, let's watch wrestling. That's, like, yeah. My mantra in life. Because what are you going to do? You know, like, what are we really going to do? Can't change anything. I can't, you know, it's hard enough to set a bank account up in one day.
Exactly.
How am I going to change my life in a day?
I love it, dude. So, like, changing from the skate art specifically to the wrestling art subject matter kind of thing, I mean, I noticed that when I was scrolling back on your page, a lot of it pre sort of mid to late last year, it was more focused on wrestling figure collecting kind of thing. And then you moved over to doing, like, posting more of your art stuff. And then, like, your actual output on what you're posting, you know, these days, I think is, like, bloody respect, man. Like, I think it's rad. And, I mean, when I look at it as well, it totally looks like you're doing it for the love of it. I don't know. I just think that's super cool. I mean, how does that output happen? Is that just you doing it when you feel like? Is there a bit where you have to sort of push yourself to get in the zone sometimes, or what?
It's I accredit it to, or what I tell myself is, like, I think those years off, I'm just like, you know, my legs weren't moving, my hands weren't moving. Like, I have a little bit of. And I have all this built up energy sometimes. Like, I'm so flattered. I feel like other people put out such great work. And, like, I'm just, I feel like I'm sometimes trying to keep up, but, like, I'm just trying to have fun too. Like,
yeah.
There's nothing that I post that I'm not like, that I don't want to post, you know? And I think that helps too, just being excited. Like, I'll see you post something. And, like I said, K-pop. Post something, I'm just like, I get hyped. I'm like, ooh, what can I create, you know? And a lot of times it kind of just comes to, like, that's not to sound pretentious at all, but, like, I don't know, like, I'll have these, like, half-baked ideas, you know? I'm like, that sounds good, let's give it a try, you know? And taking inspiration from a lot of these All Japan things definitely helps. And then a lot of, like, I'm trying to also step out of my comfort zone, and I think that's where a lot of these anime type, like the All Japan graphics, like, that's new to me. It's a bit cleaner of a style, like more straight lines or like rounded. I'm like, I'm trying to clean up a little bit, you know, just sharpen my skill set a bit so I can, like, because I love that. I love those little, like, those All Japan logos. Like, I wish that guy, whoever drew those, like, I wish he had his own Wikipedia page, got the respect he deserved, because it's so sick. I mean, I'm sure I can find his name.
Oh my gosh. They are so rad. Like, the like, old portraits and the different shirts with the faces, and, like, the ability to capture, like, someone's whole vibe in such, like, they've refined it down. And they've captured the likeness in such a weird way. Like, it's so funny to look at something and be able to differentiate, like, oh, for sure that is Tawei, you know?
Right. And the little detail, like, it's the smallest details. It's the way their hair goes. Because, like, I was drawing up that Misawa one today, and I'm like, I use the keychains as, like, my reference photos. And, I'm looking at all of them. I got the pillars all on one page, like on a reference page that I look at when I'm drawing them up. And I'm like, the smallest little details, like circle eyes, half circle eyes. You're just like, the smallest things, but it makes sense. And the thing that cracks me up the most is, like, it's so, like, the nature of it, like the cartoon nature for such a violent wrestling promotion is amazing. You're just like,
absolutely.
You're like, these are so cute, and you're like, these guys are dropping each other on their heads, like, and you're like,
yeah. I think that's the contrast, right? That, like, kawaii element to it.
It's amazing.
Like, you know, Kobashi dropping bloody Steve Williams on his head.
And it's not too. I think it's like, it's not too serious. You know what I mean? Like, it's got that, the Mickey Mouse, the logo vibe, something you can look at right away and be like, oh, hey, that's, you know, that's Kawada, that's Tawei. Like, but they're so simple. And it's funny, I feel like the simplest things to draw or the simplest things can be the hardest.
Oh, for sure.
You realize that when you're trying to draw those things, you're like, wow, I'm, I had way too many cups of coffee trying this. Maybe I should put the pen down for a little bit. It's something I battle.
It couldn't be like that. I mean, I respect, I love little touches of your stuff. Like, for example, like there's things that jump out to you. And again, they like, or what, hammer home a likeness or, you know, a caricature sort of likeness, I guess. You have to focus on different elements. And so, like, for example, for like a Kawada, you know, and I've, you know, picked this up myself when I draw him, but it's always for me, and I noticed in yours too, like those bags under his eyes.
Oh yeah. And you know what's funny of the, so everyone gets bags. I think it goes back to my Ralph Steadman obsession. It's like everyone's going to look way tired. You're going to look like I'm drawing you. Like, I'm sorry. I love the way those bags look under the eyes. I think that was like a huge thing for me when I first got into art, like into drawing and wanting to create things of my own, was seeing, you know, those bags under, like in skate art, like seeing that, like it just screamed not perfect. And I think that's, I knew I wasn't perfect from the beginning. And so seeing something that kind of offers, like, you know, you look at Homer Simpson, even he looks perfect, you know? And like when I saw, like, you know, Steadman style, I'm like, it's not perfect. I think that's something for me.
Yeah, same. Absolutely.
It's funny. I said this to my dad a few weeks ago. He's a draftsman. He designs like airplane parts and stuff. And he's been doing that for my whole life. And you show him something, he'll draw it up real quick, you know, beautiful straight lines. You know, he's got all the technique and all the everything. He's got the skill. And I remember watching him draw a Lego man for me when I was like 7 years old. And I was like, dang. My dad can really draw, you know, like I can never do that. And fast forward, you know, 24 years later, I still can't draw like him, but like I'm still inspired like that by that dude's skill. And like he's been creating my whole life. No wonder like I have an urge to kind of create too, type deal.
Nice. It's funny when you see something different in terms of like a illustration style. That's like so, you know, completely the opposite of your own, and I see, you know, for when I see other people who have stuff with like such clean lines and, you know, all this like real perfect kind of shit, I'm just like, that is so not my you know, thing, or not something that I could do, but I still like respect the hell out of it, you know.
Oh, for sure, like instant respect. Something that sticks with me, like. In that sense, like I worked with it when I got into art. I was working at a hospital, doing patient transport, where you like take someone in the hospital like to their x-ray, or, you know, take them to surgery type deal. Like I was doing that at a pretty young age, like 19.
Wow.
And someone I worked with, she was the type of artist, you know, she could draw SpongeBob perfectly. Like, she doesn't even have to look at him. She's just like, oh, let me just draw SpongeBob real quick, you know, or any character like that. And she was around, right? You know, I'm like, how do you do that? I can't do that. Like, make a peanut butter sandwich without getting peanut butter on the counter or spilling jelly everywhere. Like, you know, we make messes over here sometimes. It happens. But she gave me like the best guy. She was like, you have your own style. And she's like, that's something I always wanted. And I'm looking at her like, you can draw anything. She's like, yeah, I can draw anything, but you have a style that sticks out. And when she, it kind of, you know, light bulb went off in my head then. And it was like, oh, I don't need to be perfect. Like, I guess something I'm doing just has a specific style. And I kind of just ran with that. Like, didn't discourage me. Like, I knew I wasn't like her, you know, I couldn't draw perfect things, but to hear someone who could draw perfect things give me a compliment like that and kind of just tell me to keep going with it, stick with your style. I was like, sick. Thank you.
Dude, I love that so much because, like, I think that having a specific style and having a unique, noticeable kind of style, it's something that's like, important, you know, to me for myself, but it's also, like, such a huge thing that I look for, and it makes me a fan of you know, other people's art, and, like, everyone that I get on this show, you know, that's a big part of it, having a unique and distinct style that stands out from everyone else, and that was a huge part about me reaching out to you because of your stuff being so distinctive, and I love that so much, and I think a lot of people, honestly, they... It can be quite tough to find that style. It can be really hard to kind of refine that. I mean, some people, like, spend a lifetime trying to find what is their artistic voice kind of thing. So I just really wanted to put over, like, how much I love that. Yeah, she's absolutely right. Your style is, like, super distinctive, dude, and it's rad.
Oh, man, you got me as red as Talway's tights, man. I'm honored, and thank you so much for saying that, man. It means the world to me just to be able to offer any, like, for, like, you got me flustered. But, you know, it means the world to come from other artists as well. Like, I'm stoked that anyone anywhere, like, likes and appreciates anything that I do. But, like, you know, Eddie Kingston said it about Bryan Danielson in that interview after they wrestled at Revolution, not to, you know, steal his quote, but it's true. Like, getting the respect from, you know, your peers, other artists, like, wrestlers liking the art, like, it's amazing. You know, it brings a smile to my face. Like, the child in me, like, I became a wrestling fan at about 6-7 years old. So, like, to make wrestling art now that wrestlers can see, like, it's a dream come true almost, you know, it's not what I ever envisioned. You know, I think I wanted to be a wrestler as a kid. And then, like, you know, like I was saying earlier, you know, you find your way, you get in where you fit in, you know, and, making art is just, I love it. You know, I like the Instagram says, like, just for fun, like, I will not turn down. If anyone would like me to draw a t-shirt for them, more than happy to. But at the end of the day, like, just having fun, you know, like, trying to bring a smile to my face, be hyped, doing things I want to do, you know. And I think that's when things start working in life, when you do things that you want to do, not doing things to keep up with everyone else, you know.
Man, absolutely preaching to the choir here. And I mean, so much of what you just said is the entire reason why I do this podcast. You know, in addition for me just getting to, you know, geek out and just have, like, a rad chat like this that I'm really enjoying, I think it's super cool getting to hear that excitement about creativity and doing your own thing. And you know, I have people that reach out and they say, you know, hearing this kind of stuff then motivates them to want to create too. So that's honestly a big part of it. But dude, you couldn't have, like, refined that message more perfectly than you just did.
Oh, thank you. And it's great. Like you said, that's another big one too. When people say you motivate me to, like, want to create something like that, itself, you're like, oh my, like, I want to thank them. I want to thank them, like, thank you for feeling that type of way, you know. And, like, you know, it stokes me out that I'm able to, you know, do that for people. And it's just, it's amazing, you know. Hyping people up is dope.
Oh man, absolutely. And then getting to, you know, see someone like Eddie Kingston, for example, who, you know, you said you've been a big fan of his for ages. Same, you know, getting to see him, like, finally get this you know, recognition of how rad he is on the AEW stage has been so cool after, like, you know, me being a fan of his in, like, Shikara and and AAW and shit. Like, a dude like that, and, like, I know he is a rad dude, and, you know, I've got friends that, like, tell me how much of a rad dude he is, but seeing how great he is in giving those shout-outs to the creatives that are, like, have making this, like, rad artwork of him, it's so sick to see. And then seeing the same for him, you know, doing the shout out for your Kingston design, that just made me so happy.
Oh my god, it's, I think he's an example to not only, like, wrestlers, but, like, anyone anywhere with a, like, he's so inspirational, and anyone who has, like, a platform, just, like, he respects, like, I don't even know how to say, there's so many nice things I could say, you know, but, like, it's easy, I feel like, when you're on TV or something like that, to, like, you know, kind of ignore that sense and be overwhelmed by that, because I can imagine how overwhelming that is, you know, like, everyone under the sun hitting you up type deal, like.
Oh, and the pressure of that position as well,
dude. It's insane. So, like, knowing all the pressures he has and all that stuff, and to still, like, he's one for the fans, and it shows, you know. And I think that's why he speaks real shit, you know. He's saying things that I've felt, that a lot of people I know have felt, and, like, you know, those are promos, and those are words people will never forget. You know, we're talking about how wrestlers, like, wrestling's like superheroes, and, like, he's the ultimate superhero for, like, a guy like me, you know. And, dude, I can go look up, you know?
Same.
And, like, it's just sick, you know, to see, like, him react, you know. It's just awesome.
Yeah, like, your illustrations of Eddie as well, I think it's, like, it's so perfect, again, because of that sort of, like, sort of haggard, rough around the edges style of your work. I think it just suits, like, the Mad King so bloody well.
That means so much to me, man. That, thank you. I'm honored. I was born in Rhode Island, so that's like 2 hours. It's like 2.5 hours from New York City. And it's, like, the smallest state in the U.S., so, like, I love New York City. Like, being from Rhode Island, being from the East Coast, went to high school in Connecticut, like, knowing he's from an East Coast guy, like, he comes out in the Yankee cap every time, like, it's sick, you know? I'm an East Coast boy, so seeing that stuff, you're like, hell yeah, you know, East Coast represent.
Nice. And, like, all of the rap, like, hip-hop kind of references shit as well, I really dig that.
Honestly, the way he talks about mental health is what really got, like, in a time where I was, like, you know, like I mentioned earlier, I quit drinking and stuff. And, you know, with that came, you know, readjusting my mental health and doing things in life to, you know, think healthier and be healthier, you know. And that came with, like, meditations and, you know, a little bit of yoga here and there. But, like, you know, Eddie Kingston and, like, FTR as well, like, bringing real life things that need to be talked about, having them talked about. Yes. Like, that's so awesome. Like, how can you not be a fan of that, you know?
Dude, I think it's so good and it's so important. You know, like, I you know, pride myself on my friendships that you know, I've got with my buddies, where, you know, it's not something to be ashamed of in any sense, like, talking about mental health shit, talking about when stuff's actually hard, you know, getting away from that, you know, surface level kind of bullshit. I think more dialogue that we can have where dudes can just feel, you know, comfortable to talk about that real shit that's going on, I think that's better for everybody.
Oh, totally. Like, the macho mentality, like coming up, like, you know, my, like, love my dad to death, but like he was a macho type dude when I was a kid, and like a lot of people's dads were macho. The 90s and early 2000s was a macho time. Feelings, mm-hmm. What are those? Like, so to, you know, as I grow older, and as I grew older, like in my early 20s, like I don't know, I've always cried, like I've always been okay with crying, and so I kind of couldn't help that. So like just crying and letting it out, and it's funny, like as a kid when I'd cry in front of someone, they'd be like, oh, look at you cry. Being a grown-ass man now, crying in front of like other grown-ass men, I've gotten some props.
Yeah.
They're like, damn, I wish I could let my feelings out like that. It's like, bro, you can. Like, you can let them out. It is okay. No one's judging you. Like, you're going to feel so much better when you let those feelings out anyway. Like,
hell yeah, dude.
What are you keeping them in for? Like, I think we all need to talk our feelings out. Like, it's a necessity in life.
Man, if you bottle that shit up, it's like, not good things are going to come.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, it's all, you know, asking yourself difficult questions and kind of being like, am I doing things that are, you know, making me think this way, being negative? Do I have to change? Do I need to readjust? You know, because sometimes it's as simple as switching up your routine, and that could get your mood in a crazy, you know, 180.
Yeah. It can be the littlest things that you can change that can, you know, make a difference. But I still think the most important thing of all of them is just talking.
Totally. I 100% agree. Just letting it out.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And always, it's again, get back to what you were saying earlier of, like, you know, how different it is of, like, when you're ruminating on something just in your mind in this echo chamber.
Oh, yeah.
Versus, like, when you actually, you know, get it out of your head and you're like, oh, actually, when I say it like that, maybe it's not quite as dramatic as I was thinking.
Shout out Seneca, man. He had it figured out with that quote. Because we do. We suffer inside and we bottle it up. And then, yeah, once we tell someone, like, I'll tell my girlfriend, like, what I'm freaking out on or something like that, and she's looks at me and she's like, it's all right, like it's not that big of a deal, you got this. And I'm like, yeah, you're right, I do. I'm just stressing out,
dude. This has been such a nice chat. I had no a lot of the time the best ones are like when you just have no idea where it's necessarily gonna go, and then you're just like, man, this is so rad.
So awesome, man. I'm, again, so honored that you asked me to be a part of this. And, you know, I'm such a fan of your work. And, you know, wrestling fans, we got to stick together. So it's an honor, my friend.
Dude, it was my honor to have you on. I would definitely love to have you back on the show because there's so many more things that I want to talk to you about that we didn't get a chance to chat about today.
Oh, for
sure. What would you like to plug here in wrapping it up?
Oh shoot, well I guess I'll shout out my wrestling group chat, some good marks too. I also want to shout out the most important crew of all in my life. That's the BFG. That's my baby, my cat Fred, and my cat George. Together we are an island and we are the BFG. So yeah, shout out my girlfriend and my cats. I love them very much. And look, I'm gonna have some pins coming out soon once I kind of figure out how to make merch. I think I'm going in that direction.
Rad.
And if any wrestlers would like some any work done, I'm doing it, man. Anything anyone wants, man, I'm offering my services.
Guys, hit this dude up. I swear, if you're an indie worker out there or any kind of worker, you're gonna have some rad ass merch that people are gonna want to buy from gotch_style_bong_rips. Rad shit, man.
Ah, my man. Well, thank you so much. It was a pleasure. Such a great talk.
Dude, my pleasure. And honestly, it was just so much fun. I really would love to have you on to just continue the nerd out sesh.
I'd love it.
And I might even be coming over around your way later this year for an expo. So I'll definitely hit you
Let
up.
Me know, man. Let me know. That'd be awesome to link up.
Dude, absolutely. All right. Well, thanks again, man. I super appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you. I appreciate you. And thank you for having me. And long live wrestling.
Right, dude. Take care.
You as well, my friend.
Okay, man. That was so much fun. Huh, that right there is exactly why I do this podcast. I hope everyone else enjoyed it as much as I did. Man, definitely have to have Petey back on the show in the near future. So good. All right, so I want to make sure I'm thanking our social suplex friends here. Great guys that allow me to do this show. You can check out socialsuplex.com, a variety of other rad wrestling podcasts that you can check out as well. I also, if you feel like checking out my stuff in case you don't already, at Chris Things on the Instagram, at Chris Things on the Twitter. I'd frankly be surprised if you didn't already know about those things, but if you don't, there you go. ChrisThings.com.au is the best place you can go if you'd like to check out that art. Maybe buy yourself some of it. Maybe get yourself a print. Maybe get yourself an original artwork, mug, calendar. The world is your oyster on there, really. If you really dig my stuff and you have like a cool idea for some art, well, heck, let's do this. Why don't we do a commission? Commission work actually is maybe a bit can be a bit more affordable than you might have assumed. Commission work for me generally starts around about the 150 bones mark, and then it can go a bit higher depending on you know the level of detail or how time consuming something might be, but you know if you're after just a little old something, whether it's for like a gift or picture of your girlfriend's dog giving Bob Backlund a Boston crab, then man, let's do this. I think that'd be a great idea. Don't ask me where that came from. It's really, really scraping the weird bits of my brain right there. But no, I really appreciate you guys. Anyone that listens to this on a weekly basis or even an every now and then basis, if you listen this far, that shows a sincere level of care and commitment. And I just want you to know that you are appreciated. It's really touching. You know, anyone that supports in whatever way, my wrestling art journey, it honestly means the world to me. So big old thank you to you, the listener. And on that note, I think that's about it. All right. Man, when I finish this and I don't have someone else with me, it's like, how do you end it? I don't know. Well, I think you just have to say, see you later. Bye. Yeah, do the hammer lock. Turkey nuts!